Well, my whole message has been robbed from me tonight. Yeah. I wish the youth would have stayed in here because it's going to be a powerful word. The service has started and it hasn't ended. And I want to talk to you about something because they were talking about weights that we carry, right, in this prophecy. They were talking about words spoken over you in this prophecy as well. And I want to talk to you, and they talked about freedom from those things, right? So what I want to talk to you tonight about is the catalyst for that change to happen. Absolute catalyst for it to happen, and it must happen to find that freedom. And so I want to talk to you tonight about the power of life-changing and the life-changing effect of forgiveness. You know, we can talk about a whole bunch of things in church, but the one thing that must stay at the center of Christianity is forgiveness. And forgiveness you have freely received, and forgiveness you must liberally give. Everybody say liberally. Forgiveness isn't when you feel like it. Forgiveness isn't for those who deserve it. Forgiveness isn't for, you know, some special occasion. Forgiveness is not for some rock bottom situation. No, you should let go of all of that and lead with the freedom of forgiveness. Because guess what? In this life, people are going to let you down. People are going to disappoint you. And I'll flip the switch here, and you are also going to disappoint people. Yeah, you are. Anybody in here ever disappointed someone? Yeah, right. So every single hand better go up because we all do it. We're all guilty. Every one of us. We've spoken words over people we wish we could take back. We've done things that we wish we could undo. All of these things have happened. And what ends up happening is people receive that, and then they live from that place for a really long time. And here's what's interesting is that you or me who did that don't even have the recollection that it occurred the way they interpreted it, and they continue to carry the burden of that when there is freedom of forgiveness that you can have. Here's what I'd say. I can't always control what's going to happen to me, but I can always control how I'm going to respond to whatever happens. And I'm telling you, we're all on blast all the time, every day, 24/7, and life is happening, but we have got to take control of how we're going to respond. Whether I'm 19 years old, whether I'm 40 years old, whether I'm 90 years old, I still possess the ability to respond. And the faster you can respond with forgiveness, the faster that can resolve. I'll give you a joke. You all ready for a joke? Why did the bicycle fall over? No, because it was too tired. Yeah. I'm trying. It's a bicycle is too tired, right? Not too tired, but too tired. Yeah, anyway. Ba-dum-tsh. We need a drummer up here. But that's just like us when we harbor unforgiveness. And this whole prayer service to this point has been all about the forgiveness of those who spoke words over you. Listen, one thing I know is that people end up operating in their life based on harboring what has happened to them. And so how they perceive people in authority, how they perceive men, how they perceive women, how they perceive a whole wide variety of people, that begins to affect that individual, and then that person is operating from something less than. Well, how do you know all that, Pastor Paul? Well, I grew up without a father, right? And so I always thought, well, man, there must be something wrong with me. What could I do? How could I fix the problem? And, you know, I would cry my eyes out at night praying to God, God, please bring my dad back. Please, please, pleading with God. But what I did not yet understand as a young boy was that, guess what? People do their best. I didn't say the best. They do their best. And I'm telling you, you do your best, and I do my best. And guess what? Even with my best or your best, we're going to disappoint people. And sometimes those people are so important to us, and here we have this amazing gift that God leads with his only begotten son. And it's one thing, forgiveness of all of your sins, forgiveness of all of your trespasses. Even God himself, who was a God of wrath in the beginning, man. I mean, he wiped everybody out. He put them on a boat. And anybody who survived, that's who we're starting over with. And he'd love them back to life. And then they'd throw them out the door. And then he'd be back down here. And God's wrath would come again. And his blessing in his wrath. And his blessing in his wrath, right? But he absolved all of that wrath on the cross of Jesus Christ for you and all of your trespasses. And we are the first ones that want to have the freedom of forgiveness, aren't we? Oh, God, forgive me. Oh, God, thank you. Oh, God, I thank you that I walk in the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I adopt that by my faith, right? I know I'm falling short. I know I'm creating problems. I know all of that. But God, please forgive me. And how would you feel if God spoke back to you and said, I will not forgive you. I will not forgive you. How would you feel? Oh my gosh, God won't forgive me. God won't forgive me. But how many times have we said that to others? I will never forgive you. And sometimes we don't have to say it. Sometimes we're just living from that place. And that's a stinky, rotten place. It is. Particularly when, like I said, you've hurt people and then you've forgotten about it, but they didn't, right? So when you're the harborer of unforgiveness, it's like wearing a weight around your neck, pulling your head downward. You can't see a bright future. You can't see what the Lord is doing. You're so taken back by what happened to you. And sometimes you forget the incidents that happened. But it's still negatively affecting you because you've never released it. I think that's a lot of what happens up here at the altar. People are getting freed from the stuff that they settled for a long, long time ago. And it's like, well, I don't really know what it is, but guess what? God does, and he wants to heal you of that. Forgiveness frees us. Forgiveness is like releasing a burden we've been carrying around. We hold on to grudges or refuse to forgive. It's like dragging around a heavy weight. It's affecting you, but it's not affecting them. Matthew 6:14 through 15 says, Jesus teaches us, for if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others of their sins, your Father will not forgive you of your sins. Now, this is a loving God who wants to love you, but how many people know when you are holding a grudge, you're not always lovable? Hurt people hurt people. I want you to start to even think about some of the repetitive things that you do that negatively affects other people. What are some of those things? Where is it in you so that you can be the catalyst for change rather than waiting for them to change? You could change. You could be the light in that relationship, the light in that group of people, and give them the opportunity. And so it's kind of like this double-edged sword. A, I need to forgive others so that God will forgive me. But B, what am I doing to contribute to the things that are disruptive? And they kind of those reoccurring things. You all know what I'm talking about, right? Work on those things. You can't imagine how that negatively affects the important people that you're doing that to and how that may influence their lives going forward. People who don't understand the gospel, possibly, who don't understand the power of forgiveness. Because the moment you get on this forgiveness journey, and the faster you can do it, the faster you can heal from everything. He didn't come to stop sin. He came to destroy the influence that that sin has. And some people get so caught up, and they're like, well, those Christians are a bunch of hypocrites, right? I see them doing stuff. I see them making mistakes, and blah, 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 right? So we can't get so caught up in, well, I'm a perfect person, and I do perfect things, and you know, I don't sin. Just thinking about something that isn't of God is the sin itself. Jesus said, if you even look upon a woman and lust after that woman, you have already committed the actual sin. So it's like, well, it's not just about, well, I don't do the physical act. No, trust me, you have a reprobate mind, and that reprobate mind is making mistakes throughout your day, and that is influencing not only you, but it's influencing others. But I also want you to recognize that those things that kind of trip you up over and over again, where you're constantly getting into trouble for, those are probably areas in your life that you're still struggling from what happened to you. Think about it. Think about it. I want forgiveness, but I must understand that I must first give forgiveness. I must give it. And it is such a reciprocal thing, and it's so easy to do once you get used to it. Trust me, I had a million reasons to not serve God as a young man, a million of them. My dad was a very fanatical Christian man, but I'm telling you, the life that I witnessed with him was not a life that I wanted. That would not be a life that I would choose. And I had a hard time as a young man forgiving him for what he did. And it wasn't what he did on purpose. It was what he was doing, most likely because of his background, right? He was adopted, so he never got to meet his original parents. And, you know, he was adopted by wonderful people, my grandpa and grandma. But at the end of the day, he had a very unique life, I would say. He went to Vietnam. He fought in two tours at Vietnam, which was very unusual. He saw hand-to-hand combat. He talked about having to kill children and a whole bunch of other things. And so, as a young boy, you don't understand all that. But as a man or as a woman, you begin to understand, okay, wait a second here. He went through some stuff. Maybe it was his upbringing. Maybe it was her upbringing. I don't know what your situation is. What I know is that you can forgive it. And out of that forgiveness, you will become a better person. I assure you that the people that have hurt you the most are typically the people who are closest to you, right? And those people, I promise you, if I were to sit down with them and I don't know them and I'm getting to know them and I ask them about you and their wishes for you, my guess is they would say that they wish you the best. They wish that you would be better than they were. But you'll never, hear me, You'll never be better than them until you release what they have done to you, because you're carrying that part of them into your daily life. And you can do that. And I'm telling you, the parts that you can't do for yourself, because I'm not talking about forgetting. I'm talking about forgiving. And there's a big, big difference there. I don't forget. I haven't forgotten how I felt as a young boy. But I also, again, I've learned to understand that not everybody's born with a full snap-on set of tools. You've seen those big tool chests, man. They got every drawer, man. They got the tool guy coming up to their house every week. They're buying new stuff always and putting more away. And they got all this amazing tool set. Well, guess what? Some people are just born with a hammer and a screwdriver. And that's what they have to fix everything. And that's not a fun life either. You may be here today saying, well, that's what I feel like. I feel like all I have is a hammer and a screwdriver to work on my life. I'm here to tell you that you can grow, that you can become better, that you can overcome any of the challenges, any of the things that have happened to you. I think of the woman Helen Keller, right? We all know who she is, right? This is a woman that was born deaf, dumb, and blind. This is a woman that, man, life happened to her, and guess what? We should put her in a convalescent center and take care of her all the days of her life and, you know, poor her, right? She didn't think that way. She didn't think about how bad her life was. She thought, no, there's still a purpose for me. I can be better than what everybody else thinks about me. And she did. She touched the whole world, deaf, dumb, and blind. Now, if your circumstances are worse than that, right? That's pretty tough. One thing I've learned in my life is that whatever the expectations I have of others is, I assume those expectations are false because they're my expectations of them, not their expectations of themselves. I've also learned that anyone that has an expectation of me, right? It's not my job to live up to their expectations of me. It's my job to create the standards in my life that I'm not going to repeat these things in my life. I'm going to forgive, and I'm going to let go, and I'm going to begin to move forward in a brand new way. And I promise you, you'll find out pretty quickly that all you have is the hammer and the screwdriver, okay? But all I can tell you is the more you'll continue to walk in forgiveness, and you'll create those new standards for your life, and you'll be consistent with those things, I promise you, you're going to find one of the greatest expressions of God's glory you've ever experienced in your entire life. Because trust me, without forgiveness, you have nothing in Christ. Absolutely nothing. My next point is forgiveness reflects God's love. When we forgive, we imitate the character of God himself. Love never fails. Well, this person doesn't deserve love. He didn't give me love. She didn't give me love. He divorced me and left me with 3 kids. And boy, the story goes on and on and on. What I want you to know is that happened 10 years ago, okay? All right? 10 years ago, your husband left you, let's say. Why are you still living from that place? Why? Why are you giving that person that kind of influence in your life? Why is it that you have to perpetuate the story over and over and, oh my goodness, and then this and then that and the other? When you could literally just say, I was married to a person that I was not compatible with. It didn't work out, and I wish him the best life has to offer. You see, what I found is no matter what someone's going to do to me, I'm greater than it. Until I tell myself I'm not. So many people adopt it into their identity. This is my identity. I remember feeling like that as a young boy. This is my identity. If I don't have this, then what do I have? This is my identity. And I learned that was not my identity. I learned that God has a brand new identity for me, waiting for me, things in store for me. And the longer I hold this unforgiveness in my life, the longer it's going to take me to receive what he has in store for me. And trust me, he has immense things that he wants to give you, things that money cannot buy. I want you to know that even if you were locked in a prison, you could be free. If someone locked you in a prison and threw away the key, you could remain in that cell a free, liberated person. And you think, boy, that would take a lot of generosity. You're right. The most generous thing I can imagine is a father giving his son for the sacrifices for you. There's nothing more generous than that. I can't think of a single thing. And so it's not again when you feel like it. It's not again when you want to. There's a time for mourning. There's a time for laughter. All of those kinds of things, right? And don't misunderstand me. Some things can happen that really take some time, right? But what I'm telling you is you are greater than it. And that the forgiveness that you're doing, you're walking in, reflects God's love. Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as Christ forgave you. God's forgiveness towards us is the ultimate example of unconditional love and mercy. And I'm here to tell you today that if you can learn to be kind and compassionate to people who are not kind and not compassionate, and you can extend love towards that person, not based on what they did, but based on who they are in Christ. You think, well, that person doesn't even know God. No, but God knows them. God knows them. I've said one prayer in my life over and over and over again. God, may I know you the way you know me. But more importantly, may I know myself the way you know me. May I know those things. Because in that, I can begin to discover a better life. Better than what? Better than what happened to you. Better than what was said to you. Better than some example that you are continually, that let's say that there's someone in your life that hurt you and you're at the Walmart and you turn your cart around the corner and you bump into that person. If someone comes to your mind right now, that's the person you need to forgive. The person who has the greatest influence in your life is the person you will not forgive. They have more influence than anyone else. And again, in their mind, they believe that they did what they could in the moment that it happened. And you think, man, if that's the best that person can do, I don't know if I want that person in my life. Listen, there are certain people in your life, parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, close people, spouses, children, things like that, people like that, your pastor, others like that, that you need to be generous with. Generous with. And you think, oh, they have such a hard shell. Oh, you know, they've promised me this, and then they don't do it, and then they promised me that, and it didn't happen again. Generous love. Generous, more than they deserve, because the love you've received is way more than you deserve. We forgive others, we mirror his grace, and extend his love to those around us. Point three, forgiveness heals relationships. Forgiveness has the power to mend broken relationships and restore harmony. And I'm talking about some of the most difficult relationships that you know of. The Bible goes so far as to say, pray for your enemies. Why should you pray for them? Well, God, I'm going to pray to you right now about this person, and I want you to know that they did this and they did that and they, you know, so on and so forth. And God, I just hope that, you know, karma comes and kicks them in the butt. God ain't going to listen to that prayer. He's not interested in that. He already knows what happens. In fact, the Bible says, you know, that we go to prayer and to ask him for the things that he already knows about, right? It's like, no, if you're going to pray, you pray the word of God over that person. The promises of God. The promises of God. I tell you, you want to break down a hard person, you want to turn their heart to God, love them unconditionally. Love them. So forgiveness heals relationships. Proverbs 17:9, it says, whoever would foster love covers over an offense, but whoever repeats the matter separates close friends. I'll tell you, we depend on the grace of God for the forgiveness of our sins, and it's high time that we extend that same forgiveness, particularly to our brothers and sisters in Christ and to those who are closest to us. I'm sure that when life began with this group of people or these individuals, no one got up in the morning and says, oh, I just can't wait to do this to this person, and oh, I just can't wait to do that to that person. It doesn't happen that way. If it did, I'm sorry. Forgive that person anyway, but that would be a very unique scenario. When you start these important relationships, it starts with really deep love and deep caring and so on and so forth. But guess what? Life continues to happen. Don't let what's happening to you affect you to the point that you're going to launch into your own life to create something the same. Because I promise you, whatever you're carrying in unforgiveness is going to show up somewhere in your life. In closing, Romans 5:8 says, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait until we cleaned up our lives. He didn't wait till, you know, things were better. He didn't, none of that happened. He said, I believe I can offer them forgiveness for all of their sins. I can be generous. I don't have to wait for that person to come around and be better. No, I can be better. You can be better. And the influence in that betterment, I promise you, will make a big difference in the quality of your own life. And I just want to challenge everyone. Remember, forgiveness is not always easy, but it's always necessary. And it is essential for our spiritual growth and for building thriving communities, particularly within the body of Christ and in our households, grounded in love and compassion. So I challenge you tonight, who do you need to forgive? What steps can you take towards reconciliation in that situation? Let's embrace the power of forgiveness, walking in the footsteps of Jesus, who gave us everything so that we might experience true freedom through redemption. Who is willing to go forth tomorrow to get up and to have a renewed mindset around the idea of forgiveness? You forgiving others and you working on those areas of your life, like I said, that cause offense in your life, those things that keep popping up. And again, I would ask you, if those things are happening in your life and they destroy important relationships, look back in your past and say, what was it that someone else did to me in the same way? And forgive them in that moment. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word, your ability to perform your word, Father God. You are a God of forgiveness. I thank you that all of the ministry that happened tonight and those words that were spoken over those people, that those words are canceled and that your forgiving love replaces all of that insecurity. We just thank you for your power, your anointing, and your grace to break every yoke of bondage, including unforgiveness. It is not us. We are not it. We are mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. I just thank you, Heavenly Father, for anyone here that is holding unforgiveness, that, Father God, they will take those steps to forgive and be free, just as you intend them to have. Maybe someone in this room that needs to receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Well, you're at the right place at the right time. And guess what? No matter what you've done, you can find forgiveness right here, right now, in Jesus. So if that's you, I just want you to say this prayer. We're going to say it all together. We're going to say the Lord's Prayer and invite Him into your life. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I come to you in Jesus' name. I ask you to forgive me, and I know you do. I receive your love. I make you the Lord of my life. And I pray these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, we'll see you Sunday, 10 o'clock. God bless.